Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
You know the summer season is here when the triggerfish show up, and man, they have showed up in numbers. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We get a July 19th and 20th. Indeed, Ty, man, this is it. The summer bite is in full swing. You got triggers going on. You have Spanish mackerel, bonita. You have the Cadillac croakers are showing up in the bays. Check this out along the jetty. Houndfish. This thing had to be close to 40 inches. Grab that little cast master. Whoa, down the jetty. Must have made five or six jumps for it. Beep. And away it went. Yeah, it is indeed a time to be on the water, where you're on a jetty, in a boat, getting to the rivers. Fluke, everything is happening right now. It's only going to get better as time. Again, the weather, a little southwest, southerlies, making that water a little cold. Don't worry about it. Plenty of ash. And the sea bass. Need I mention sea bass? Forget it. On the freshwater thing, man, you just can't beat frogging for bass right now. And the snakeheads doesn't get any better. Two shout-outs, very important. One, to engineer extraordinaire Roy Nielsen. Without Roy, Rack and Fin would not have been on there, because not on the air today, because I looked at this board, something went wrong. Nielsen was there. Absolutely the best in the business that there is. And a shout out to Ashley out in Indiana. I was on the phone with this lovely young lady earlier in the week, talking a bunch of stuff. And I said, yeah, I sound like a bag of marbles in the morning. I got to bed. And she said, if I don't hear my bones popping, then I know something is wrong. Ashley, how apropos. That is great. People, we have a really jammed show. Coming up, some recent reef deployments. Artificial reef program, second none. Captain Peter Clark. Also going to get a wrap-up of that doormat derby happening down there. Happened last weekend down in Wildwood. And House of Rods, some custom rod talk. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Having a great time. And it's one day closer to hunting season.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. July 19th and 20th. What a weekend it is shaping up to be. The weather, the fishing, I said, just really, really took off offshore, mid-range, inshore, on the jetties, along the surf, in the bays. It's a great, great time. Listen, we are starting off, we're going to kick it off today. It's just going to be periodic, right through, I guess, the winter months, whenever there is an activity. Artificial reef deployments. New Jersey's artificial reef program is going full tilt boogie under the guidance of marine biologist Peter Clark, a fairly frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio, also a tremendous tuna, tog, and fluke angler. Runs the Mad Hatter. Mad as a hatter, I will say, as we know him affectionately as, and respectfully as, the Admiral. Well, Pete just let me know late last week there was going to be two deployments. So we're going to be doing this as they happen. You're going to get updates on Rack and Fin Radio. Of course, Little Egg Reef and Atlantic City Reef both received a bunch of material. I guess it was this past weekend or late last week, whatever. So we're going to get an update on it from the Admiral as he speaks. Admiral, how you doing, man?
I am fantastic, Tom, as always when I'm on Rack and Fin.
Oh, thanks. Peter Clark, by the way, there's still some freaking jumbo sea bass in close. I mean, I'm seeing photos of 3, 4, 5 pounders. I mean, in close.
Yeah, we're seeing some of the biggest ones we've encountered so far recently. You know, on our trap survey, we're on Little Egg and Seagirt Reefs, and we're seeing jumbos in the trap. It's amazing. Amazing.
I say full recovery has happened. But Pierce, one guy just the other day, I just don't understand people. That's what makes life so interesting. Bitchin' and Moaning, he had a 21 and a 23.5-inch fluke. And he had a sea bass that was 4.1 pounds. And here he was bitching and moaning that he could only catch one sea bass. Yeah. Granted, he said they couldn't get the bait down to the fluke, flounder, whatever, because the sea bass were all over it. But can you imagine that? A 4-pound sea bass. And we could only get one. I said, bud, and you're going to sea bass all through the fall. So just be thankful for what you have now. That one fish, Pete, I don't know. It was beyond knucklehead. That was like a double-fisted knucklehead.
You know, Tom, my dad used to always say, I give you a pound of gold and you're going to tell me it's too heavy. And you know what? You can't make everybody happy. And the sea bass's great. Fluke is really starting to heat up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're seeing there's life. Come on. There's life. right? And that's all you can ask for out here outside New Jersey. It's good time of year. July, August, September, awesome.
And animals, as I mentioned earlier, the triggerfish, what an invasion. This is like it's beyond an army of triggerfish. They're the big gray triggerfish. I've seen fish, and evidently some reports of larger ones. I've seen them up to 2.5, almost 3 pounds.
Right, and you're seeing them, you know, at least up north here where I'm at, where I fish up north of Manasquan in Monmouth Ocean County. You're seeing them, like, you know, from the beach, literally in 15, 20 feet of water all the way out into 60, 70 feet of water. You know, when those gulps come back with that bite out of it, not bit off, but the, you know, like someone's been chewing on a cob corn, it's like, you know, its triggers are in town.
Well, Pete, speaking of even in close, there were some that were evidently caught. I saw some photos caught off the Barnegat Inlet jetty, the South jetty.
So yeah,
they're tucked right in now. Okay, Peter, let's get to this is so exciting. This reef project in New Jersey is the best beyond the planet in the universe.
Universal
is what I'm saying. Pete, let's start with Little Egg. We're talking 3.8 nautical miles from shore, 2 square miles, a range of 52 to 59 feet. What was deployed? When did it go on? And let's get to it, man.
Yeah, right. So Little Egg's a really cool reef. It's, as you said, it's close to Beach Haven Inlet and to Little Egg Inlet, right off of the end of Long Beach Island. So there's access, right? And because it's so close to that amazing estuary, the influences, you know, the nutrient loading, that reef really is just a bountiful place. So we've been working pretty closely now with the Beach Haven Charter Boat Association and the Charter Fishing Association, and they have a junior mates program that's been raising a lot of funds. I mean, these guys have been doing awesome, awesome work. Tens of thousands of dollars over the past few years. So we finally, this has been a couple years in the making, but we were finally able to get a 200-foot barge down on the reef Monday, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Big one. This is a big one. It comes up about 12 feet off the bottom. It is 40 feet wide. Great piece. And we've got numbers. They'll be published on our website. But generally speaking, if you're looking for it right now, it's going to be southeast-ish corner of that reef.
Okay, Pete, how did Bureau of Marine Fisheries, you know, DEP, Fish and Wildlife, whatever, get hold of this barge? How long a process was it from when you accepted it to when it was deployed?
Yeah, unfortunately. So the guy that's preparing it for us, or had it, had been, in fact, it had just been used for a 4th of July ceremony. 2 years ago, we committed to this, and, you know, things have been pretty busy and hectic with this material provider, so unfortunately it took a while. This is the same guy doing the USS United States, so unfortunately we took the back burner on this one. But it's been in the works for quite some time, Tom.
Wow. Now, Pete, how long before there is hook and line catchable life on this thing? Almost immediately, I would assume, because they just everything gravitates to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got video of us sinking stuff, and honestly, as soon as the stuff hits the bottom, you've got fish interested in it and coming up to the camera. So, I wouldn't hesitate trying to sea bass on this thing. I was telling you before with the traps, we're catching giant sea bass, and we see amazing sea bass catches. You put a trap, and I joke around about the shopping cart reefs and stuff, like, you put something in the middle of a desert, and it just, you know, the sea bass will congregate all over that. So I would try it out. If I was down fishing off of Little Egg, I'd be definitely trying this piece out. Yep.
Okay, Peter, now, where you position this? I mean, what, you know, the logistics behind it? Is it pretty much by itself? What's surrounding it? What's surrounding this barge?
Yeah, well, so there's a couple of things down near. We've got some concrete and some reef balls, you know, and we're talking like 600 yards away. So typically, and it doesn't, this rule of thumb, you know, this is a definite, but typically when I'm sinking like a barge or a ship, I try to give a good radius of space around it, because people aren't going to necessarily be doing a lot of drifting. It's more of like a spot lock or an anchor spot, let's say.
Yep.
A barge is nice because you can drift 200-foot length of it, but it's going to be a quick drift, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I want to try to avoid other pieces. So it's sort of a singular item. It's one in of itself, right? So concrete, I don't mind getting close to other deployments because concrete would be more of a drift material.
Exactly, you might, right.
Yeah, yep. So that's really it. There's no no real, you know, hard, fast rules when it comes to this stuff for me.
Okay, Peter, for, again, the Little Egg Reef, we have the barge. Are there any things coming up for Little Egg the next within the next year? I mean, it seems that the Bureau, your reef deployments, it's an ongoing thing. It just keep coming and going down there, man.
Yeah, well, it's, thank God. We've been doing a lot of reef ball work out on Little Egg. We've got we just did this barge. We've got some more reef balls in the works. I've got two other vessels. They're both barges, actually. Relatively local, that will be going on Little Egg. But, you know, I mean, we've got 16 other reefs that I'm also trying to...
And people, whatever he has going on, plus his biological end, he has a head of hair like the mane of a big pride lion. I don't know how you do it. Pete Clark, I don't know how you do it. We have Peter Clark on the line. He is the artificial reef coordinator, marine biologist, et cetera, et cetera. Talking about, okay, that was a Little Egg deployment. We're up against a hard break. AC Reef coming up next. Before we go to break, I have to give another shout-out to Cameron Caution down there at Boulevard Bait and Tackle. Was that Siva somewhere down in Arrowfix at 17 for his work on the Townsend's Inlet Reef. Pete, with those... as a fundraiser with those reef balls, he's doing a great job. Everyone involved, just an incredible job.
Yeah. Cameron's been working with the Strathmere Fishing Environmental Club, who we've been a longtime partner with down there. And absolutely, yeah, I say this, and I can't say it enough, to be honest with you, but you've heard it a million times from me. It's these types of guys and groups, Strathmere and Charter Fishing. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this program happen. I play a very small role in it, right? That's without these guys, it doesn't happen. And Cameron has come along with Randy Roche over at Strathmere.
Yes, yep. Shout out to Randy. Sorry about that, Randman.
Randman. So, yeah, you know, and then we what was interesting, Monday was a long day, the 14th, when we did this, because we were down on Cape May Reef, actually first at daybreak, putting a push boat down, an 80-foot push boat that we sunk down on Cape May for the former, you probably heard that the Cape May Charter Boat Association is no longer.
Yeah.
So they did their last and final sponsored deployment down off of Cape May earlier in the day.
I have the memories, the late, great Lou Rodia, responsible for getting me to Philadelphia Daily News column. I used to write for Lou when he had Eastern Outdoors, whatever. Just a great guy, great fisherman. Introduced me to Captain Paul Thompson and the incredible fishing on the Porgy 4.
Cape
May. Always had a great time. Didn't catch that many fish all the time, but the Cape May, the whole... It used to be, I talked to Ernie Utch. Ernie's going to be a guest on in a couple of weeks at Utch's Marina. There used to be a fleet of party boats down there and charter boats. And it's so sad to see, Pete. It breaks my heart.
Yeah. You know, Paul Thompson he's a huge part of that community down there. And he's always been really involved with our program, on, like you said, on the 44. Yep. And, you know, great guy. You know, I think that things change a little bit. Hopefully we'll see Cape May bounce back, but you're right. It's maybe not quite what it was back in its heyday, but maybe we'll get back there. Right.
Hey, listen, I'm hoping, Pete, that with this Delaware Bay Reef, the way things are popping here, man, that whole Fortescue area is going to have a revitalization. Because that reef is, we'll talk about that another time. People, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Coming up, we're talking the AC Reef deployments with the Admiral, Peter Clark. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
Hey, this is Josh Hennig inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Hennig, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. We have plenty of questions about the Phillies heading into the second half of the season. And are the Eagles being underestimated heading into the 2025 NFL season? This Saturday's guests include AP senior NFL insider Rob Motti and South Jersey undefeated heavyweight boxer Bruce Seldon Jr. Hanging with Henning on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora. Boxing Insider Promotions presents summer boxing action at Tropicana Atlantic City on July 25th. Klamek Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township and Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. That's Hanging with Henning this Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, the 97.3 ESPN mobile app, powered by First Bank of Seattle City, and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch Virtual Studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We go July 19th and 20th. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message. We're streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. You can go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or the ESPN platform, whatever, and you get the Rack and Fin Radio podcast that they usually post. Let's see, either sometime like today's Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, or sometime Sunday, but the Rack and Fin Radio message is out there. Listen, we are fluid. We are liquid. We are able to make the change, and because of a miscommunication via Tom P. here, so what else is new? Right over there, what else is new? We're not going to be talking the deployment on the AC Reef because it wasn't. It was the Cape May Reef. Peter Clark told me off. I said, "Oh, that's right, Pete. It was one of those 20-hour days, I guess." So we have the Cape May Reef being covered here, and Peter Clark is on the line with us right now to continue about this recent deployment. Pete, this—that's a 5-something square mile reef. That's one of the biggest reefs in the system, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's a big one.
Let's see, 8.5 miles out of Cape May Inlet, 42 to 74-foot range here. Pete, what went down on Cape May?
Right, so Dick Herb and the Cape May Charter Fishing Association, they closed their shop up and made a final donation to us. Again, this was coupled with the barge that we did on Little Egg.
Right.
So we did a double tow up from Virginia. And this was an 80-foot tug push boat. It was a huge hulk. It was, off the main work deck, it was 3 decks high, huge piece. Absolutely. It's actually one of my more impressive pieces that we've done in a while. And it was called the Evelyn Doris. So it's down again on the southeast corner. We put the numbers up on our website. And just going to be an absolutely amazing piece to dive and to fish.
Well, Pete, mention the AC Reef. You have the Shark River up north. This is Cape May. Besides the size, it is one of the most productive reefs in the system, is it not? I mean, there's a lot. I want to talk about some of the structure and everything, but everything gets caught down there.
Yeah,
save for maybe bluefin tuna or big eyes. I mean, everything's down there.
Yep. And we've done a lot of work down there. You know, over the past couple of years, we did a 90-foot scallop boat down there, a bunch of reef balls, barges. We did a huge dredge rock campaign down in there as well back in 17 and 18. That's now very, very, very productive areas. And, again, you know, all that stuff is on our website. But, you know, it's got the subway cars, of course, mm-hmm. down in there. A lot of subway cars, Redbirds and the steel ones.
Right.
Very productive. Caisson Gates.
I was just going to say the Caisson Gates, Pete. They're a fish beyond a fish magnet. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really cool pieces. And we've got one in possession right now, ready to go. We're just waiting for a timing on it. And we haven't decided what reef it's going to go on either. And then we've got one more, I think, that we're going to be able to get to New Jersey.
Well, Pete, again, in deciding which reef gets what and when, is it, not to sound like being a smart, is it reach your hand in the hat and pull a name out with? Or what's the deal?
No, not. I mean, so, you know, so Cape May and Dick Herb and the Cape May Charter Boat Association sponsored this piece, right? So right. obviously, you know, Dick has a say of where it goes. You know, we decided Cape May, that was his preference. Mm-hmm. John Lewis and the Beach Haven Club, they wanted it on Little Egg. When I have a choice, you know, if I have a free donation, it hasn't been sponsored by a specific club, I usually go towards A, if the material provider tells me, we'll bring it anywhere you want, Pete, well, then I go down the list and say, well, who hasn't received anything in a while, or what is in dire need of material? And to be quite frank, there's a few reefs around along the coast. Like, for instance, Cape May, this is the 296th deployment on Cape May, I did the 85th deployment on Little Egg on Monday. So Little Egg is in need of material. Garden State North and South are in need of material. Barnegat Light is in need of material. These reefs get a lot of effort and pressure on them from fishermen. But
you ain't lying, Pete. Ooh.
But we just don't, you know, the coffers aren't pouring money towards us in that central part of the state. Reefs up north get a lot of sponsorship, and the ones down south get more sponsorship than in the middle. So generally speaking, that's how I try to decide where stuff is going to go. If I have a choice, I put it to the reefs that are in need, and we just keep pumping them until they, you know, we want a quality across the entire reef. If one reef on the south part of the state is chock full of material and there's nothing in the middle, fish aren't going to be as apt to start populating the middle state reefs, right? So
right.
We just keep on going.
Good question. Mentioning pressure, not for any people, but that, what do they call that part of the Barnegat Light Reef, whatever, the tires? Talk about run over and flattened. Pete, that you can walk on the boat. It's like being out in the canyon sometimes when the yellowfin chunk bites on. You can walk on the boats.
Yeah.
And that gets hammered. But there's some other guys I know that have little patches of cover here and there, here and there, here and there. But going out of Barnegat, some head down a Little Egg or some head up to Garden State North or South because of the amount of pressure on the Barnegat Reef and that tire section.
Yeah, and those reefs are, you know, I even spend, they're the Garden State North and South are amazing reefs to fish on. And I'll even run my boat from Shark River down to Garden State. Because they're, I mean, it's just that good.
Big question here. Just again on the materials, it seems dredge rock very important, vital. It's like the plasma in the whole system. What is it about dredge rock? Its versatility, the fish attracting qualities, the hiding places it represents as you deploy it. What's the dealio?
Well, I mean, it's great material, right? The majority of the stuff that was put on Cape May was really large pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates this interstitial space for these animals to reside, right? It's got a great substrate. It was actually like this lime sandstone stuff, so it was somewhat porous. It wasn't like a granite, you know? It wasn't real slick, dense material. So this came out of the Delaware River. They were doing a dredging project for a large port up there, and the material is absolutely fantastic. So all this, you know, all this other plants and smaller things, you know, sessile organisms can attach to it, and then the successional development occurs with that happening. And and we're talking huge, 3,000 tons of dredge rock at a time. So it's a massive amount of material. Plus, it was free. And if it's free, give me three.
Pete, I had one of the editors, a magnet right for a rope. I said, how many are these pounds or this is 1,000 tons? I said, go with Peter Gar. It's tons. The guy was absolutely blown away at how much is being deployed. Yeah.
Per deployment. 3,000 tons per deployment, and we did 23 deployments on Cape May of dredge rock.
Well, Pete, well, as DEP, Fish and Wildlife, Marine Fishers, whatever, do you announce the dates of these deployments? Can people go and observe? I mean, have to stay a distance away. I understand that. But how is this publicized?
Yeah, so I usually communicate directly with the sponsor of the material, if we have one.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, you know, I would love to be able to tell you, you know, on August 3rd, we're going to do the deployment, but we are so dependent on weather. Unless this thing is, unless our material is coming from the inlet that it's going out in front of.
Right.
We're like firemen. We open up a window for deployment. And like this one that we did on July 14th was a 2-week window. It could have happened on any one of those 14 days.
Wow,
it was my son turned 15 on the 14th, and I was out sinking two ships from dark to dark.
Marap Balamaron. Well, that's why.
Because you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's it.
You don't have a choice.
It's the thing or get off the pot. You got to do it now.
I mean, I think you probably remember we did that. Remember that boat that ran up on Point Beach and was raised, and then we sunk it again. I did that on Christmas Eve. Like, you know, you got to do it when you
got to
do it.
Yep. So we have Peter Clark on us right now. He is a fisheries biologist, DEP's Marine Fisheries. He's also the state's artificial reef coordinator, hell of an angler in his own right. Okay, Clark, I'm sandbagging you. Let's talk fluke right now. We have a couple of minutes left. You've been fluking about water dipped a little bit with those south winds. It's picking up again big time from what the reports I'm getting, Pete. And wow, there's some. Hey, there's still plenty of big fish in the back. By big, I'm talking 4, 5, 6 pounds in the bay still.
The bays, the rivers, the guys up on Manasquan, Shark River are still getting good fish. And out front, like you said, if that's south, you know, if it calms down a little bit, like, you know, today's probably going to be a good fluke day, or tomorrow, I'm hoping, because the south is just, it's backed off a little bit. But we've had runs, like, this whole week has been Saturday, Sunday, you get these afternoon southerlies that are coming through.
Right,
and, you know, 15, 20 knots of that for a bunch of times. So the bottom yesterday, I'm going to give you the bottom. Well, let me start with the top. The water temperature on the top on Tuesday and Wednesday was 77 degrees from Atlantic City all the way up to Seagirt. Okay? 77 on top.
Yeah.
The bottom was 58 degrees.
That's not that much of a swing.
Well, I mean, it's 20 degrees, you know? 58 still. 60 in mid, you know, 62 is pretty good for the bottom.
Yeah.
And like I said, these southerlies come through and it's, you know, it'll slow things down, but then you're really fishing on the tide, you know, because those things are a bit lethargic. So you're fishing on those tides a little bit. We've been finding like that morning, you get a few hours in the morning, you get a good crack at them and you really got to capitalize on it. You know, everyone needs to be locked and loaded, and you need to be really grinding it out in that morning to get those fish.
In the southerns, let's just check the July issue of Fisherman Magazine, South Winds Blow by Captain Scott Newell, How to Fluke Through It. Very informative. And, Pete, again, we're there, and the bites were picky. It's not, you know, the deep bow line, but fish were being caught. But I'll tell you, Pete, the bucktails were ice cold.
you know what? And everyone's going to hate me for saying this, but there's a lot of short life. I like seeing that. You know, I wish it was a lot of keeper. Well, you know, and like I said, we're starting to see a lot more keepers. But the short life is fantastic, which means that we've got a great, great, population coming up through us. So, yeah, things are looking good.
Okay, listeners, just a reminder, too, I believe it's scheduled for next week. We have a gentleman from Bureau of Marine Fisheries, the Marine Administrator, is going to be talking on. There's a survey going on.
Yeah.
So that's, again, for some changes could be happening for next year regarding sea bass and fluke. Remember, it was a two-year program or two-year, however, management project, whatever. So, Pete, that's, again, you got a lot of young fluke out there. It's going to be, it could be a white sheet of paper to draw on next year. A lot of possibilities.
Yeah, look, we're doing a survey to help us inform the Marine Fisheries Council on public opinion, popular public opinion, what people find
more important elements than other things, right? We can change regulations in three ways. We can do sizes. We can, that's one. Second thing would be the season length. And then the third thing that we can change is the bag, right? So if we have those three variables to mess with or to, you know, to move around to reach our target, not exceed our target, then we want to know what the public has. And if they were to rank them in order, what's the most important thing?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the state, how long is the state? 120-something miles long of coastline that we've got to deal with. And then we've got the back bays, and then you got the ocean. And, we've got a lot to sort of juggle around there.
And he still has a full head of hair, people.
Somehow.
Well, Pete Clark, thanks for joining us on Rock and Fin Radio today. Best to you and the family. By the way, tell your son, happy birthday, July 14th, Bastille Day was my mom's birthday.
Oh.
So we got two great birthdays there. Hey, you know what was scary? You know what? Hey, Clark, you know what was scary the other day? Honest to God, on my mother's side, that sounds sacrilegious, but it's an old Italian thing. Met a guy, we're talking, whatever, he's getting clam license or whatever it was. My exact birth date. I said, 9/20, and I'll go into the year, but we all know. No, I said, you have to be kidding me. He says, why? I said, yeah. He says, we're both cursed.
Well, hey, Tom, you ready for this? I'm the 17th of September.
Hey, September's a great month. What did I tell you, man? A transition month.
I should have known.
Hey, Peter Clark, again, listen, you can't get Pete. This time of year, it's almost impossible, so I'm going to strangle him out a little more. Pete, your tuna situation, man, what have you been finding out there?
It's absolutely amazing, right? So we've got bluefin tuna of all sizes, everything from that slot up to giants, you know, 400 or 500 pound fish from Barnegat Ridge in that 90 to 100 foot range all the way up into the mud hole and under Long
Pete,
Island.
About the mud hole. So a guy the other day, he was buying the no live bait needed. Hell yeah, butter, the 8-inch paddle tail. And he was buying the purple head, the 4-ounce purple head, you know, the 4X strong hook. And he said, I'm familiar with him. He's one of those guys. He's not unfriendly, but he's not friendly either. Just the facts, ma'am, the facts, miss.
Yeah.
They had what they estimated to be a 91 incher in the mud hole, released 75 feet of water, and they had two rods destroyed. And these guys are good fishermen. They're accomplished. The term expert, you know, expert, whatever. But these guys are good. And the guy was, he was absolutely sort of he says, Tom P. says, wow. Wow. So
there's something there. Those between, the no live bait, the Ronzies, the Hogies.
Yep.
You fish them right off the bottom. I'll be honest. I was a Ballyhoo guy for a long, long time. A couple years ago, those rubbers came in, and it was just, you know, don't turn back because they work. When the troll bite's not happening, try one. You know, try a live bait out the back. Try one of those things on the bottom. Guys are putting them under balloons and getting bit. But it's not just bluefin. You go out to the mid-range grounds, you got yellowfin, 60-pound yellowfins mixed in with bluefins out in the canyon. Like, you know, I can remember in June, my friends and I, we're sort of in a semi panic. I was in a full panic because you're not seeing the life that you're
right.
Guys in Rhode Island are calling down here, where are the giants? You know, I think there was like two giants caught up in mass. And then all of a sudden, within the course of, a week period, right around July 1, it just exploded.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit, not a non sequitur, but saw a guy walk out of a shop with a handful of those wolf packed salmon colored pink tails.
I'm
leaving it at that, Clark. I'm leaving it at that. Pete, thanks for joining us. You have a great...
You know it, but there's products out there. You just mentioned two of the best ones going right now, you know? It's like, it's just... I can't fit... It works. What can I say? I don't know.
Pete, I'm going to tell you, I have... Fluke. I gotta have to ask you a question about Fluke, but off the air. Okay, Pete, you take care. God spares. I'll give you, you're going to be around next week. I'll give you a call or text. We'll talk some flatties.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have a great weekend, Pete. Talk to you later.
Adios.
See ya.
Bye.
Peter Clark, as always, the man, the one, the guy. He is Mr. Artificial Reef, the Admiral, mad as a hatter. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein. Nick Earnshaw joins me in the studio. The Phillies start the second half and welcome the Angels to the bank. We will recap all the action with former Phillies relief pitcher Scott Ayer. Kyle Schwarber won this year's All-Star MVP, and the locker room will be giving away a Kyle Schwarber Phillies pinstripe jersey to a lucky listener, courtesy of Pro Image Sports. Tune in to win. The Beach Patrol Report is next, and we will have all the results and interviews from both the Recur Memorial and Atlantic City Classic. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of July 19th and 20th. Oh, one day closer to the hunting season. But that's all right. That's all right. The fishing is still, and it's getting better. Still incredible, and it's going to be incredibler. The incrediblest fishing is yet to come. Join us online right now is Jerry Vessels. You know, everyone knows Jerry. He's the owner, promoter of Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Going to be kicking in again this January. It's coming January 10th, 11th, 12th. I guess it's a three-day now. But he also was one of the coordinators whatever, of the doormat. It was last week. The recently completed Doormat Derby Fluke Tournament down there out of Wildwood. Want to give very successful. All the people I spoke to that were involved with it, fish or whatever, had a great time. Some nice-sized fish were caught, and a lot of scratch, moolah, and prizes were awarded. Absolutely amazing. Jerry Vessels, congratulations on a kick-ass tournament, man.
Good morning, Tommy P. How are you, man? Thank you very much, sir. I'm waiting for the incredible fishing to come, too.
It's there. This bottom, like as guest earlier, Peter Clark said, the bottom, it's water. Bottom temp's coming up, but don't worry. It's going to be get there. But if I can make a suggestion, Vessels, I got to, you know, yeah. Man, I'm a righty. Got to add some oomph. I mean, the Doormat Derby, you know, okay, that's okay. How about this? The Area Rug Rodeo. Oh, come on.
Come on.
I think that would be a great one, Jerry. Come on, man.
That would be a good one. My original, I had a flounder with a derby hat on him. And the guy, he looked at it, he said, what are we selling hats now, too? I said, okay.
Okay, so, Jerry, let's get into some of the results here. How many boats did you have? Again, Jerry, Tom, you should have been here. It was good fishing and a great time. One of the most successful flounder tournaments so far this spring. Summer.
I wish it was spring still. Tommy, we had a great time, a great turnout. Weather was good. It was forecasted great, and then it was just okay. So, but getting into the nuts and bolts, we had 35 boats fishing, 25 of them weighed in fish. We gave out over $16,000 in cash prizes, another like $3,000 in door prizes. So mm-hmm. We came to over $19,000 in cash and prizes. We have four categories that were weighed in. The heaviest sea bass, 1.77 pounds. Captain Steve Gatto, he walked away with $1,300 for that. Slot fish, which is one of my favorite categories. It's the tournament junk fish, 18 to 20 inch fluke. Well, they count in our tournament. Two fish combined weight, 5.81 pounds. A tie for that, which was Captain Matt Gillis, Captain Keith Arenberg. They each walked away with $1,450 a piece, so almost $3,000 in that category. Single heaviest fish, Captain Tom Corbett with 4.73 pounds. He walked away with just under 4,200. 4.43 pounds. Captain Scott Morris had 600. Then two guys, 4.40. Number two boat was not in the Calcutta, so the number three boat got more money. And, all the things to make your tournament director life nice and easy. it's all good stuff.
Again, everyone was happy. Again, plenty of fish were caught. And, Jerry, from what I understand, the camaraderie was second to none.
We had a great time. I mean, it was very, very good. Everybody was cordial, and that's the biggest thing about it. You want people, sure, you're out there fishing and you're competitive and everything else, but at the end of the day,
that's what
most
I heard.
People know each other, you're friends, like, let's sit back and enjoy and actually take a good look around. You know, we had an American Eagle sitting there on one of the commercial boats across the harbor kind of saying, like, honestly, take a good look around, man.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, this is only your third year. I see a growing, pardon the term, leaps and bounds. I like prefer exponentially. I see this thing just getting bigger and more popular as, you know, the next, as the years pass. It's got a lot of great great potential.
We hope so, Tom. And it's not only the tournament itself is a great format and everything else, but the grounds at Cape May Outboard off the Hook Marina, we have the potential for growth. You know, I mean, we could easily, I won't say easily because logistically it's tough, but, you know, we could do 100 boats and we have enough grounds for it, yep, and everything else and room for expansion. And this is all part of the plans and moving forward. And I'm not upset with, you know, growth, growth, growth. And then you're ready for that leap into the unknown. So.
Spoken like a true show promoter. Jerry, before I let you go here, real quickly, I understand, well, you guys had an incredible door prize there, a custom rod from House of Rods. I mean, I've seen that crew at your expo. Unbelievable fishing tool.
Chuck Bryce does an amazing job, and he donated a custom, come in, sit down, pick out your rod yourself, build it. $450 custom rod build from House of Rods and Chuck Bryce. Can't say enough about him and his family. Amazing door prize that we gave away.
I mean, that's a door prize to the 10th degree. I mean, you know, door prize where you get this. That was something. That was nice of Bryce to do that.
Fantastic. Again, Chuck's been here since the beginning, and he's been on board with it and very helpful, and I'm so grateful for everything that he does for me.
Okay, Jerry, listen, I got to fly, man. How's the incredible family, Patty and the girls?
The family is doing fantastic, starting to get to the nitty and gritty, getting to reality that Allison's going to be going back to school in a month. And,
oh,
you know,
she's already, yeah. She's, wow.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's like, ooh.
Okay, a question. This is, again, business is business, Vessels. Did Abigail buy out her boss where she's working?
Not yet. She's not going to buy her out. She's going to wind up being her attorney somehow. So, Tom, if you have one more second, I had one more category I did not mention. I'm sorry. Three fish, amazing, 19.52 pounds with Captain Tom Corbett, walked away with $4,400. 14 pounds, 8.9 ounces. Roy Traynor, 14.51 with Keto Arendelle again, Arenberg. But, again, we had a very successful tournament. And, Tommy, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. And my family thanks you for everything that you do for us.
Jared, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure. You guys rock. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Tommy.
Take care. Yeah, third year of that tournament. Again, everyone I spoke to a person, probably 20, 30 people involved with it. Everyone had a great time. Vessels, he's on to something. And they had great coordination down there, from what I understand. Tommy P, the one guy, said it was a seamless operation. And speaking of the devil, you mentioned the name Chuck Bryce, House of Rods. House of Rods here. I've seen that they were with Vessel, I guess, from the first Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. I stopped by their booth a few times. Incredible, incredible tools there, what they are. Also, IRT Reels was sharing a booth with them. And, you know, I said, what? Where did this come from? This number just came into my head. Like, and believe me, it's pretty crowded there. Also, a lot of people say it's pretty empty. The number for Mr. Chuck Bryce himself from the House of Rods. Mr. Bryce, how you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
Mr. Bryce, you never told me that you were in a Hall of Fame Football University of Delaware Blue Hens. You never told me that. Check it out, people. You remember the guy, Napoleon McCollum, played for Navy? Bryce's team kicked their ass. Delaware beat Navy. I remember that, dude. That's, but you're much too shy. You're much too coy.
that's a long time ago. A lot of fun. Long time ago. Yeah. What can I tell you?
Hey, you were there, man. You were there. But Chuck, to the House of Rods. You know, see the term custom rods is thrown out so much. They seem to be everywhere, like dandelions. Now, what Jerry described as your very generous donation. Someone's going to come in, and you are going to actually, the winner of the drawing, you're going to actually custom fit the rod to them. They're going to tell you what that's a make. I mean, that's something. Usually, okay, here's our custom rod, and away you go. You know, you have a diamond, diamond wrap on it or something like that. This sounds like the real deal.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes. So what they'll do is they'll come in. We'll start with what they're looking to fish for. So we kind of pair them up with a blank. We're big black hole fans. We sell and we build a lot of our rods on black hole blanks.
Mm-hmm.
Jane and Esther, the owners of Black Hole USA, wonderful people, treat us great. Great success with the rods. So they'll come in, they'll pick the blank. We'll measure the length of where they want the reel seat, how long they want their handle.
Mm-hmm.
And then gets the fun stuff where we pick colors and stuff like that, custom paint it, mm-hmm. all kinds of things like that, and, you know, get it done. From colors, handles, grips, wraps, guides, everything.
Well, Chuck, a lot of variables involved, I mean, as far as action. One person's medium light is another person's medium heavy type thing. How do you gauge that?
Really, the way we gauge it is really talking to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
What is he looking? How is he going to fish? And what's he going to fish for? And where is he going to fish? You know, someone that's looking to do flounder fishing in the back bay, his rod's going to be a completely different needs for someone that's going to go wreck fishing for flounder
mm-hmm.
or reef right. fishing for flounder. Two different type of rods that would probably be needed. You could do it with one, but I don't think you'd be as successful as if you did. So
right. Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of communication with the customer to find out what their needs are and really how they're going to fish with it really kind of zones it in for us. And then the other thing that we do completely different than anybody else is if I build you a rod and we missed it, let's say we did not meet the expectations of what you're looking for, you don't have to buy it. It's that simple.
What did you say? You don't have to buy it?
We'll put it in inventory and sell it to somebody, but if I miss it, mm-hmm. then if it's my job to make the rod what you're looking for. That's my job. And if I miss the mark, let's say, you know, something's just off, we don't hold you to buying that rod.
So listen, again, you're hearing it from the man himself. Well, Chuck, also involved with IRT reels. Nice reels.
Yes.
Absolutely nice reels. And they have some funky color creations. They can do pretty much anything you want, I think. The connection there, I mean, that's American made, correct?
Yes. Pine Grove, PA. Tim is the builder. Tim has become a good friend of mine through the years. And it's funny you say about color, because that's how we got hooked up with them many, many years ago.
Mm.
Basically saw the colors of the reels and, you know, shiny thing, sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. And we just thought it was a great fit for what we do because, you know, we can build a rod and then I can have them build a reel to match my rod. It fits so well. They do a great job. Our number one selling color reel is purple.
What's with the purple between the heads for the tuna with the purple now with the play? What is it? Purple.
I don't know. It's crazy. Purple is a hot color for us, and the purple IRT reel is pretty crazy looking itself.
Okay, Chuck Bryce, listen, we're up against a hard break. I have to let you go. House of Rods. Before I let you go, Bryce, answer me one question. Well, besides knowing Jack Neal, Butchie Neal there, that's which he described a ride in with you from offshore that a storm or mid-range storm was coming up. And he says, yeah, Chuck just wouldn't, he wouldn't step on it. And he says, that was the most harrowing ride of my life. Shout out to Jackie Neal there, what advertising copywriter extraordinaire. But Chuck, okay, do you, here's the test, my proclivities, do you make ice fishing rods?
Yes, we do.
Get the hell out of here. You do that? Wait, you go from offshore to ice rods?
We go from ice rods to offshore unlimited rods, yes.
Bryce, I'm going to have to visit you. Your property value will go down for a little bit while I'm there, but we have to we have to talk. Chuck, do me a favor. People want to find out more about House of Rods, Facebook page, website. Where do you go? Hurry up. I'm on break. Hurry up. What do you got?
Facebook page, website, www.houseofrods.com. And we're on Facebook all over the place, Instagram, everywhere.
House of Rods and University of Delaware Hall of Fame football player, Chuck, he's nice, Bryce. Chuck, we'll see you soon, man. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
That guy's pretty cool, man. What rods? I'm not, you know, the rods I have now, is whatever that have made it. They're all no fancy diamond wraps or anything like that. To me, it's all about the components. When you see the creations that these people are capable of, absolutely amazing. Be right back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, closing it out, Saturday, July 19th on Rack and Fin Radio. Hey, people, you've been tuning in 7 to 8 a.m., 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com, and go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms of the Rack and Fin Radio message there. Just a reminder, Garden State chapter of Safari Club International. Making some strides here, man. They're going to have a at short notice, but and I think there's a couple of spots. I'm not sure, but I had to get in because I received a notice not too long ago. There's going to be a trap shoot at the Farmer Sportsman's Club, 300 Ellis Road, up there in Milford, New Jersey, 08848 for your GPS. 75 per shooter, 50 bird round of trap, and a barbecue. That's what I'm about, people. The barbecue dinner is going to be pulled pork, barbecue, barbecue chicken, sides, dessert, the whole bit. Cash bar open after the round of trap. Bring your own guns, shells, and hearing and eye protection. And there's going to be 50-50 raffles. Join us on the line right now to give us a minute or two with his valuable time and also some information on suppressors is Robert, a.k.a. Bob Newland, president of the Garden State chapter of Safari Club International. Hey, Newland, how you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How you been?
Well, I'm thinking barbecue here, bud. Forget shooting clay birds. This event sounds like a super time. Do you have any spots left?
Yep, we do. We still have about 20 openings, believe it or not. People aren't registering in advance. They want to make sure the weather's going to be good. So as of right now, we got about 20 spots open, and the weather is looking good for next week. Long-range forecast is good.
It's like the fishing tournaments. You know, you say, how is it going? And the last day, captain's meetings, all of a sudden, 100 people show up.
Exactly.
So about progress made, Garden State chapter. How's everything going?
Everything's great. I mean, we're up to over 128 members now, I think.
Yes.
We're growing quickly. We picked up a major sponsor for our banquet coming up in January. That's going to be a tremendous event. And we're making some progress. SCI is making some progress on the suppressor issue that you and I have talked about a couple of times.
Yeah, Bob, we have listeners. Go to Garden State SCI for information on this. Shoot, it's going to be a great time. And again, that Farmer Sportsman's Club, that's been around since the early 50s, if my memory serves me correctly. I'm not old.
It sure has. And some of the founding members are still there. So they've got a really good group of guys, and they do a nice job with that barbecue. You're right on track with that. That's some good food.
I got sweat on my upper lip here, Nolan. You know my proclivities here. Well, Robert, we have only about 2 minutes. Listen, we're going to get into this a little later on in the summer towards fall. The regulations on suppressors, what's the progress been? What's happening?
So there was supposed to, the lawsuit between SCI and about four or five other groups were supposed to file a lawsuit against the state of New Jersey last week. It got delayed a little bit because the House and Senate both changed the language to on the regulations of suppressors and moved them from the National Firearms Act to the Gun Control Act in the budget reconciliation package. What that means is now under the Gun Control Act, they can be purchased just like any other firearm, as opposed to all of the baloney that they used to put you through to purchase suppressors in other states. So this makes for it a positive effect for the lawsuit here in New Jersey, making it more likely that we can make some headway with this.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That the Department of Justice it changed its position on whether suppressors are firearms under the Second Amendment. The DOJ argued that they are not firearms in the past, and this new decision resulted in a negative decision from the Fifth Circuit Court. But now they've changed their position because of the House and the Senate. So they continue to argue that suppressors can be restricted, it's not as watered down as it was before. The change is happening. And so SCI has got a very optimistic look on whether they're going to be able to win this battle.
Hey, man, it's a battle being fought, and I think it's a battle that's going to get won. You guys are like bulldogs, man.
Yeah.
You bite it. You absolutely do not let go. Okay, listen, it's going to be next week. It's going to be at the Farmer Sportsman's Club, 300 Ellis Road in Milford. Garden State Chapter Safari Club International is going to have a trap shoot, 75 per shooter, 50 bird round of trap. Skeet, okay. Sporting Clays.
No,
that
trap.
Listen, I know, but listen to me, Newland. That trap, it looks so easy. Things just going out there. Damn, man.
Yeah.
That can make it pull your hair out, dude.
Yeah, it's tough. Farmers has two trap stations, so we'll be able to run 10 shooters at a time. It should go pretty smoothly. Get you in there, get you fed, get you out of there. We'll do a 50-50. Bill Bockenberg, the president of the NRA, is coming down again, so he'll be on hand to talk to people about anything that's going on in the NRA.
And Newland, well, listen,
shaking, buddy.
Listen to me, Newland. Any prizes for the most misses? I mean, I'm a lock on that, Newland. Okay, Bob, you take care. Godspeed. We'll see you next week.
All right, Tom.
We'll see you, man. Great organization in New Jersey, State Federation of Sportsman's Clubs, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, Safari Club International, man. We are on the offense, not being reactive, being proactive. That'll do it for this week on Rock and Fin Radio. Get out and the fishing and the water's a little cold. That's all right. Everything is going on. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. See you next weekend. Rock and Fin Radio.